farcical, so unpredictable, here on the SNL Network.
Yes, that is right. So welcome, everybody, to the Hot Take Show here on the Saturday Night Network. My name is John from the Saturday Night Network. So excited to be with you right after the Amy Schumer and Steve Lacy episode of Saturday Night Live from this season 48, its fifth episode. And I am pumped to get to talk about the night and what we saw here with two amazing guests and everybody in the chat who gets to join us after these shows. So first off, let me bring in my man, Anthony Conway. Anthony, how are you?
I am good, John. I am good. I am really, really excited to get my hour back after this is over with. Man. Man, yeah, I need daylight savings time to kick in, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Let me just say, this is not a hot take. I hate daylight savings changes. I think I'm like so ready for them to go. I hate it when it gets dark, like so early in the afternoon. But on a night like this with the Hot Take Show, I could use the extra hour. So, I'm excited to spend it all with you and about for everybody who's on, I guess, in North America. I don't know how it works everywhere else, but in about 40 minutes, we'll turn back the clocks. So that'll be fun. But joining us for the first time in season 48 on the Saturday Night Network, it is the wonderful Amanda Mitchell. So Amanda, how are you?
I'm so happy to be here. It's been far too long. I'm so sad I couldn't be here before. I missed you all endlessly. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't handle it.
I'm so excited to have you on. I know you are like one of the hottest take people on the network. So it's exciting.
I loved this episode. I won't even lie. And also I'm very happy to get this hour back. So.
All right. Okay. Good. So let's do a lot of good things happening here. So let's,
it's the 18 this episode, the 18, dude.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we got Amy, we got Anthony, and we got Amanda here to talk through the A-Team episode. So let's do it. Let's start with our hot takes and headlines for the night, and then we will get into the sketches from the evening. So Anthony, head it over to you. What is your hot take or headline from this episode of Saturday Night Live?
My hot take is that when Amy Schumer shows up, it's genuinely one of the best episodes of the season. And yeah, I would go on a record saying this is my favorite one so far.
Wow. All right. Okay. This is interesting. And Amanda, it seems from your initial thoughts, you feel similarly. So what is your hot take for the night?
I'm happy to see Cecily Strong back in full force in every single way. We got a great episode out of her. And also, yes, I agree. I think Amy Schumer is a delightful host. And she's had a hard couple of years in pop culture. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see her back and doing the thing that we know and liked her for the most, I would say.
Yeah. So this is interesting for me because last week I said that, Cecily coming back, I was nervous that would be the major focal point of the previous episode. And it wasn't at all. Like, she was very much like fitting into the cast. I felt like tonight was like a Cecily dominated episode of the show. And I felt like the show kind of needed it. Maybe perhaps Anthony and Amanda were a little bit higher on the episode than I was. Nothing against Amy. I'm actually more of a fan of Amy Schumer's previous episodes than I think most people are. But I did feel like tonight was not everything fully hit for me. And I felt like if anything, Cecily actually elevated a lot of the material tonight. So like, I've been really impressed with her return. And I think if she was going to, take over in the way that she did tonight, I think it's better that she does that in episode 2 of her return than episode 1. So that's sort of like how I process the evening. But I really want to get into these sketches and talk through everything that we saw this evening. So let's jump right in and chat. I want to get your thoughts as well. We will put them up on screen as we go. Okay, let's start with our cold open tonight. And we open on James Austin Johnson as President Joe Biden, his 7th appearance as Joe Biden, the first since April. And last year, that was such a common thing. We were seeing Joe Biden so much, but it's really been, I guess, like 7 months since we've seen JAJ as Joe Biden. And this time he is there to talk about bold ideas for the Democratic Party, where he's going to bring in different people who he thinks could run and be candidates. We get Chloe as Marianne Williamson, Molly as Guy Fieri, Marcello as Tekashi 6ix9ine, Cecily as Stormy Daniels, Ego as Azealia Banks, and then Keenan plays former SNL cast member Tracy Morgan, the second time we've ever had a cast member play Tracy Morgan. We had Jay Farrow in season 39 play Tracy as well. So Anthony, I'm going to go over to you. What were your thoughts on how SNL handled the midterms with Joe Biden and his bold ideas tonight?
All right, I'm not going to lie. I think I got so much of JAJ doing Biden last season that when I saw the presidential seal pop up, I was a little bit like, oh, like I kind of don't want this. But I did think that, like, you know, some of the co-stars that popped up throughout, I thought they were fun. I really enjoyed Cecily. We already mentioned it, but I think, like, you know, she really, like, popped in and was super dominant throughout. I mean, I thought that she was a lot of fun there. I really enjoyed Keenan's Tracy Morgan. Sounded nothing like him, but, like, just had the cadence just slightly there with, like, the most ridiculous lines. Like, you can't, like, it's Keenan just being, like, the closer, which I really enjoyed. So, yeah, it wasn't my favorite cold open, just because I kind of started from a place of, like, okay, like, here we go with, like, the same kind of routine thing. But I did enjoy seeing, like, you know, a lot of the cast members popping in throughout. And another shout-out to getting the Azealia Banks moment. I thought that was funny as well.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And I would also say, I want to point out Ken in the chat, one of our friends who's always in all of our chats, who mentions how short this cold open was. It was only about 4 minutes, I believe, from, you know, and we'll get the full timing from Mike Murray during the week. But, you know, short and sweet is the way to do something like this, I think, if you're going to be doing it. So, Amanda, how did you feel about the cold open we got tonight?
I was glad it was short. And it was because, I mean, yes, I love AJ doing Biden always. It's great. Great to see. Great open. It's timely. Things are happening. I just felt in the long scheme of the entire episode, I was like, okay, it was real short. Thank goodness. Which sounds really bad. Yeah. But like it just felt more like we want to slot a bunch of impressions in right at the top so we can get them over and done with, because like the election's going to be over, you know, in a few weeks and we won't be able to pull these out over and over again. In my opinion, also, because I've been rewatching 30 Rock, I don't know why we haven't brought Tracy Morgan in to be Herschel Walker. But that's just me, because they had the whole run in the like the later seasons where there's Tracy manages to look like a character who runs for public office, who basically is Herschel Walker. So I'm just saying, Lauren, it's right there. Here's a free idea. You can pay me $200,000 for that idea.
That's interesting. I don't think I've seen that anywhere. So that's a smart idea. I do like that. Now, let me just dive a little bit deeper into this with you, Amanda. From what I remember from last season, or actually, I would like you to just remind me, how do you generally feel about politics on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, I love them. Except that I feel like the older and longer it runs, the more I'm like, whose politics are these? Like, they feel very all over the place. And I just, sometimes I'm like, there's so many other things that have happened in politics that we can run off of than just doing another Joe Biden sketch. And maybe that's just me.
Well, let me bring Anthony into this one while we just wrap up our discussions of this sketch, because for me, I really felt like there wasn't a strong take here. And I think that was my biggest problem with it, is that if the concept of the cold open is going to be, okay, we want to bring out a bunch of impressions, that couldn't have been it tonight, because these were all random impressions that were like, who can do this person? Like, what would be funny to bring it in? So like, that didn't really feel like the concept, right? So now the concept has to, we have to take two steps back. Okay, now the concept is Biden has bold ideas. But is that like anywhere near reality? Is that like how people feel about something? Is there a take there? Like, I'm still not seeing where
and
the...
And to do a Marianne Williamson in 2022, I'm sorry, that was 6 years ago. Like, we've done that. We've been there. It feels just like, oh, we had just these impressions that we could slot in and kind of make fit because they wanted to do them rather than actually have a cold open that was strong and suitable and like funny, you know, like, but maybe.
Yeah. And like, look, the listeners know me. I will give the benefit of the doubt where necessary. But Anthony, do you also feel like tonight I like there wasn't a strong take and this was sort of felt like something they felt like they may have had to do because the midterms are coming out?
Yeah, it felt a little bit shoehorned in. I will definitely give it that. It felt like, you know, like our typical, like, you know, the parade of like everybody kind of doing like their best impressions. But yeah, it's like, why was this the way that it got delivered? So yeah, didn't really consider that until you said it, but it did feel a little bit disjointed in retrospect.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's turn our attention to Amy Schumer, who comes in to host for the third time that we're going to see her on Saturday Night Live. And we get to see her talking a lot about, and this is going to be a theme for the night, she's going to talk a lot about sex. She's going to talk about what it's like to have a child, what the best weekday is to have sex with her husband. And then she gets into a lot of stuff about her husband having autism and what that is like. I have been told that a lot of the material from this set was something that she has used previously, especially in last year's 9/11 Still Rising tribute show. So I don't know that this was new material specifically for SNL, but perhaps, you know, a lot of viewers may not have seen this set in the past. Amanda, how did you feel about Amy's monologue tonight?
I mean, yeah, because I had watched her special, so I think I felt I felt like this was almost refreshed material she had touched on. And I mean, yeah, I also always love a stand-up monologue, in my opinion. I actually wish that we would give them an actual mic stand that they could go and like come off of, because that feels just very stand-up-y, monologue-y kind of deal. I enjoy hearing Amy's perspective on her husband and her marriage and being married to a neurodivergent person. And especially, like, I believe he was a late diagnosis in life, neurodivergent person and all of that. And I thought it was very heartfelt, you know, mm-hmm. and interesting. And, but also in my opinion, I'm kind of like, let Amy run for, it was what, 7 minutes?
I don't have all time.
Yeah, it felt like a very long time. It felt like I don't know how long it ran, but it felt like a very, very long monologue. And I don't know how long everyone else has gone for this season, but it felt like the longest one this far. But it was just nice to have somebody stand up there and get to the point and do her thing and let us know, remind us who she was. I think that was the other thing.
For sure. Anthony, I don't know that with this monologue, like if you already didn't like Amy Schumer coming in, that she necessarily wins you over with it. But if you are a fan, I think this is like what you're looking for from her as well. So how did you feel about it?
I totally agree with what you said. If you are a fan of Amy Schumer, then yeah, this is for you, because it's like, you know, it's her stand up. It's like, you know, her typical material. It's the same cadence. It's the same polish. Like, it's what you expect when you know that Amy Schumer is going to be doing the show. I wasn't familiar with this being material that she had used previously. But I enjoyed it. I thought that, you know, it worked really well. I love when we have comedians that are on the show, because it just moves really quick. You know, like their polish is there, the timing is there. So I appreciate that, like, you know, it's super quippy, it's super quick. It's all really, like, you know, contained really well. And while I'm not a huge fan of all of her stand-up, I thought that tonight was pretty solid. I enjoyed it. I loved the cadence, the rhythm. I loved the jokes about her husband, about sex, and, oh, like, what day of the week do we do it? Tomorrow. Like, yeah, it was fun. It was a really strong way to start off the episode, I felt.
Definitely. Okay, so our first sketch of the night is Manny's Restaurant, where we open up on Heidi, Amy, and Ego at the restaurant. Michael Longfellow brings them some soup. And, you know, Amy's so close to eating the soup that she has been thinking about for all day when Heidi starts talking about her separation from Matt. And then there's a big, you know, back and forth between, why don't we eat and then we'll talk about it. And then we learn eventually that, you know, Matt's taking the kids and, you know, she gets a call. Why don't you go outside and take the call? And we get, you know, different escalation here where Marcelo and Sarah, I believe, are eating at a table over. And then Keenan starts singing to be the voice of, you know, Amy's thoughts. And, you know, Heidi is just sobbing. And eventually it's just this debate of, is she going to eat the soup or is she not going to eat the soup? So Anthony, do you think she did the right thing by eating the soup? And did you like this sketch?
It's what I wanted. I wanted to eat the damn soup.
It looked good. Like, I mean, like, didn't look good when she was eating it, but like the idea of the soup was appetizing.
And it's funny because like when the sketch first started, like I was like, they're really laying on thick, like how much she wants the soup. I was like, is this going to be like something that falls flat? Like it's not going to like, you know, live up to the hype. And it does. And it doesn't make sense how it does. It just continues to like, you know, just like become another thing. And then like Keenan pops up and he's singing her thoughts. And then she's waiting until she can stuff the entire thing in her mouth. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was because I didn't know where it was going. And because I kind of had a low expectation from it from jump. I didn't hate it. I thought that it was fine. It wasn't perfect, but I thought it was fine. And I did laugh a couple of times throughout.
Amanda, how are you feeling about this sketch?
As a woman who has lived this several times.
Okay,
entirely. Oh, I mean, a single woman in New York City. Like, trust me. Like, my friends do this all the time. I sit down and I'm like, "Hello, I haven't eaten all day. I'm gonna order a chicken schnitzel and we're gonna gossip." And my friend's like, "Hello, I'm depressed." I'm like, "Great. Can I eat my salad, please?" So yes, I reflected on this, but I was also like, as a person who's lived this, it's not that funny. It's just a thing that happens, which is why I wish it was, the writing here was just tighter. This needed I think a third or fourth draft. It felt very, very not, it rushed in some places and lagged in other places, and so many things that just could have just been condensed tighter. I mean, I enjoyed it because also, I understand the perspective and I get that, but I think it just, especially for the lead sketch, it was like, oh, okay, we're going right there. But yeah, like I said, better concept than execution, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I want to explore this more because I saw some comments in the chat talking about Keenan's performance in this one, which is, him singing and escalating in terms of making this more dramatic. It sort of reminded me a little bit of Jimmy Fallon and Tariq do this a lot on the Tonight Show, where they'll be having a mundane conversation and then they'll just break out into song and it becomes extremely dramatic. And I think it's a really interesting comedic tool to do something like that. However, I believe in this sketch, the concept was actually extremely strong. They hit on something that I felt was fairly original and, like Amanda said, could be related to. But I think that they may have stretched themselves too far when it came to bringing out Keenan and making it almost a little bit silly, because I think that the dramatic tension of her trying to eat the soup was something that was so interesting to me, at least from watching it, where I was like, the writing here, it felt like the concept of the sketch was extremely strong. And if they just had one more extra rewrite on that to Mamata said, tighten it up, I think they had something really great here. I just don't know that it fully went over the goalpost for me.
I genuinely could see this as a recurring sketch with that whole concept of these kind of mundane life experiences you have with your friends, where they come in and you really are looking forward to do something and they're they derail the entire thing. Yeah, I love that. But either cut the Sarah Marcel apart and get straight to Keenan, or just tighten it all up in general. So yeah.
And I don't mind the use of Marcelo and Sarah at the other table, because I find that adds the disparity between what's happening, which is that's the heaven. That's where I want to be. I want to be eating the soup over there. So I don't mind that as much, but I felt like the focus was sort of taken away and put towards Keenan, who did a very good job in this sketch, but I don't necessarily felt it didn't all come together in exactly the way I wanted it to, but this is a sketch I definitely would love to explore more throughout the week. Okay. Next, we're going to move on to our COVID pre-tape, where, it's SNL tackling COVID. Okay, we've seen this before, but, it's a little bit of a flip on this time, where this time people want to get COVID. And maybe there's some truth to this, because in this case, we have Michael Longfellow, Sarah, and Heidi. We have Cecily doing the voiceover, where they're all talking about how they want to escape from their lives, and their doctor suggested that they get COVID. And we see the COVID always positive home test, where they can find a way to get away from things that are happening. So Andrew Dismukes also appears in this one as a husband. Anthony, how are you feeling about this COVID pre-tape we got?
I thought this was excellent. I thought that, I love when they do a pre-tape that, just feels super relatable. And that's what this one feels down to a T, which is just there is that point when you think about getting COVID, you're like, I ain't got to go to stuff. And I can stay in the house. I can chill. I can get caught up on a couple of movies. I can binge a couple shows on Netflix. I have a positive COVID test photo on my phone. It's a get out of jail free card. I haven't used it yet, but it's there just in case. At one point, early in the pandemic, I remember telling somebody, I think I might have gotten exposed. I ain't gone anywhere today before. It's the funniest, goofiest thing that you can get away with now. And I loved it. I thought it was super, super funny. I thought it was sharp. I thought it was perfectly timed in the episode. No notes. I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was so fascinating to me because it's very true. I remember thinking a few days ago, I was remember when everybody was at home? That was kind of cool. And when you're in it, you don't want to be in it. But when you're out of it, okay. That was we all went through this thing together. And I do think it was I'm sure because the concept seems so straightforward. I'm sure that this has been brought up as a concept before somewhere, but I personally just haven't seen it executed in this way. So I thought it was pretty clever. Amanda, how did you feel about it?
Okay, I have really mixed feelings about this one. I really do. And I think in retrospect, because in real time, I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. I would love to catch COVID right now, knock on wood, because I am so tired. I would love to have a reason to not be doing work or at, you know, be at my house, just in home. But also I have a lot of, you know, friends who, if they caught COVID even now, would die. And I'm like, that's, are we still really gonna, okay, being that lighthearted about the idea? It's like, LOL, now if you get it, you get to be home. It's the new flu, which we all said it was going to be like 2 years ago. So we didn't really win. We kind of lost. And so I think I want it. Yeah. People have died. Like, you know, there's a lot of weird things about it, because I'm like, I get it, the concept is funny, but also like I'm like, it's a little insensitive, I think. Just maybe maybe the bad taste in my mouth, it had to come back later, like diet cherry Pepsi, like that. Yeah. Kind of thing. Like, I just think about it and ruminate.
Well, just so I understand, though, because I do think like some of the listeners would probably want some clarification.
Yeah.
Is what you feel insensitive the fact that they're saying, okay, now we want to get this thing that killed so many people? Is it like that's as direct as that? Because I'm wondering if there is in their minds like any take on COVID that is funny anymore, or if it's just like it's done.
And that's what I would love to know, what in the writer's room, what the tone was, what the temperature was on the concept, because it depends on where they were coming from. And I think it's a little, I think it really depends on who was thinking about it, because it's a part of our lives. We've kind of accepted that, which I think 2 years ago, we were still being like, no, it's not going to be a part of our lives. Thing.
For sure. And this is a really interesting conversation, because I think that we see plenty of times in our live chats, when I tend to talk to some of the listeners, they are always asking for material that makes people uncomfortable. And
I did. I love that. Oh, and I love that. This made me, like, in retrospect, thinking about it, and now that I'm an hour out, I'm like, this kind of was oof. Like I was like, okay, we're gonna go this lighthearted on a thing that really was traumatizing for a whole generation of people. So I think, I mean, as a person who's rewatched episodes of the show from 30 to 40 years ago,
you as we would all know have.
Very much. I think you would have a better perspective of me, and like watching things that are you know, our parents and our people who were in charge of us went through, and seeing them take it. And like, I'm sure they at some point they did, like, you know, a baby trauma when all they thought, you know, the daycare trauma sketches, all these things that were like,
Well, this is probably more of a roundtable conversation. So I will say that, but I will say, like, that is to me, one of the most interesting things about being a fan of Saturday Night Live is watching a sketch, and then you can react to it like we're doing here on the Hot Take Show the night of, and then also think like, how are people in 10 years or 20 years going to look back on this sketch? And I do think that if they were able to look through the episodes throughout the last couple of years, there is a clear trajectory of like how SNL decides that they're going to make fun of COVID. And this almost feels like the last thing that they're ever going to do when it comes to COVID.
That's great. I'll take it. I like, if that's going to be the pin we're going to put in it, it's not a great pin in my opinion. It's not the way I would want to go out on the topic, but if they want to go out here, cool. Cause we're not washing our groceries anymore. And that was the joke that we were making for, you know, 3 to 4 months, you know?
So. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna explain that to my kids one day, but let's move on to our next sketch, which is the courtroom sketch. And from my understanding, this was a cut sketch from last season, so season 47, where we had Jerrod Carmichael come in to host one episode in the second half of the season, written by Celestium and Please Don't Destroy. And this was a sketch that was there where instead of Marcello, we had Mikey Day, who was being, in the chair being talked to. And I believe it may have been AD who was playing the judge instead of Keenan in that sketch last season. But now for this sketch, we open up on Andrew Dismukes as the counsel, Keenan as the judge, and Heidi asking Marcello if he had called the police. And we're starting to wonder what's happening with this case. But it really turns to the jury for this sketch, where we get the trio of Amy and Bowen and Sarah all talking during, like, on the jury when they're really not supposed to be talking. And we get some really fun lines and back and forth with Kenan Thompson as the judge. In particular, the line about Taylor Swift, the "this is not a song from Midnights, this is a song from Fun," the Jack Antonoff stuff, really got me. We also have some fun stuff with Amy with the knife when Devin Walker comes in as the bailiff. So Amanda, would love to get your thoughts on the courtroom sketch and chat. Let us know what you thought as well.
Okay, so I rewatched Little Shop of Horrors a few weeks ago, and I realized there's nothing more than I love in comedy than the trio of people as a Greek chorus. Like, it's that to me is peak comedy. I loved this purely on a, oh, this is just a sketch, and I'm amused, and I was so happy to see so many people together. It felt like a weak premise that was supported by really great performers. And that, to me, in an episode like this, I'm like, I feel like every episode I come on, I'm like, this episode was a showcase for this person. This episode was a showcase for just everyone who was like, let's just have fun. Like, it felt like everyone in this sketch was having fun. And that, at the end of the day, like, it is enough for me. It felt like, now knowing that it was a rollover from last season, I'm like, that makes more sense, because it felt just kind of like shimmied into place. But I enjoy, it wasn't a standout, but do I feel like everyone in this episode, in this sketch, was enjoying themselves and did a good job? I do. And also, I love seeing Mikey Day in general.
Okay, Anthony, how did you feel about our courtroom sketch we got tonight?
I agree with Amanda. It's not a sketch that I think on paper, like, you know, it was like a standout, but it worked really well for the performances. I similarly wrote down that the fake Taylor Swift moment was hilarious. I love it. They closed it out with like a courtroom sketch of all three of them. It was a really, really solid sketch. And it's not one that going in, I expected to be as funny as it was. And by the end of it, I was like, this is like one of like my favorite moments of the entire episode. It was strong.
Yeah, I do like this sketch. I do feel that I wish I got more Bowen and Sarah and a little less Amy between the trio that was there. I think that was probably where it got like off the rails a touch for me, especially with, like, you know, the part of the knife. And I thought that was like a little bit fun, but I really felt like the duo of Bowen and Sarah was like a really fun duo that we got up there. And I think that there was something there for sure. I think that the Kenan interactions were probably my favorite stuff that made me like actually laugh out loud this night. Now the murderer is yelling at us, I think was a great one, where that was like a really great line from the sketch as well. So for me, I thought this was really good. I find it always really interesting when they bring back a sketch from the previous season, because this to me is a sketch they've been holding on to for months, like a long, long time. So, you know, that goes to, you know, you start thinking about like, why didn't they try and do this again in the spring, and what led them to potentially bring this back now with regards to the rewrites on it from then versus now. So I'd love to like find out some more information of that, to see what really put this over the edge this time. Was it the involvement of Amy Schumer, who could potentially pull off different material than Gerard Carmichael could have at the time? That's always something fascinating to think of, you know, when it comes to sketches like this. Okay, so this week we had a lot of news. I sort of thought that this actually might be the focus of the cold open for tonight, where we got stuff about Twitter and Elon Musk finally completing his purchase of Twitter. We've heard a lot of news this week. Amanda, I'd love to ask you, you're verified on Twitter. So news came out about people having to pay $8 a month to keep their verification. Is that something you're going to be doing?
No. no, I, first of all, I got my verification through my job, through my career. So if I need to keep it, I have a union that can work for me and make sure that I keep my blue check mark, and they'll pay for it, and I will pay union dues to keep it. But it's not that important to my identity. And fully, I'm going to say it on this podcast, I got verified on Twitter because I wanted to do it before my ex-boyfriend did. So I did it.
Okay.
Succeeded. Yes.
And all right. All right. That's a big win. Well, yeah. Good for you. You won.
Now, and now I don't want it. Now that like Elon's going to make people want, no, I don't want it. If you're going to pay for it. No, get rid of it. Gross.
Yeah. Well, here we open up on Chloe and Keenan trying to figure out if suspended accounts should be allowed back on Twitter because Elon's making all of these changes. Apparently, in dress rehearsal, Mikey Day also played Elon Musk, but that was cut from this particular sketch. So they took that part out of it. But then we get sort of our like parade of different people coming in, you know, who were have suspended accounts, including Cecily, who posted her whole Bowen as a soldier, Amy Schumer being banned for being a bot, who you can find on sexpals.bitcoin.iraq, Punky, who's there on behalf of Black Twitter, who'd rather go to MySpace and get that popping again. And then we do get the return of James Austin Johnson as Trump for the ninth time, who wants to get off of Truth Social and go back to Twitter. Anthony, what were your thoughts on what you saw from the Twitter sketch we had tonight?
When we see the Twitter logo right before it came out of commercial, before they went back in, before the sketch started, I wasn't too excited because I was like, oh, great. Like they're going to like, you know, have something that doesn't feel like it needs to happen, or rather like it needs to happen because it's topical, but it's not going to be funny because it happened this week and there's just not enough time to make it as sharp as it could be. But I enjoyed a lot of moments throughout. I really enjoyed that we got a Punky moment as Black Twitter. I loved the moment with Amy Schumer playing the bot. I actually thought that was super hilarious. And then when JJ shows up as Trump, like I was hyped for a second because it was like, oh, like I know this is coming. And then I was like, all right, I kind of don't really want this no more. But overall, I thought that it was pretty good. I thought I had a lot of really good moments in it. And considering it was like, you know, something that they had to put together to keep everything timely, it hit a lot of the notes for me.
Yeah, I think that this is my problem with the sketch is like, you can't help but comparing like when these sketches happen, like one person coming into the next person, right? So you often end up saying like, what is your favorite here? That's probably the base analysis that you do for a sketch like this. And I do feel like Punky gave me a really big laugh in the sketch tonight. I think she was really strong. I think Cecily was really good in the sketch as well. JJ as Trump, like, did we need to see that? I guess like to make a finer point on what they were trying to say, like it makes sense in the context of the sketch, but I really felt like, okay, if you're gonna write this sketch and you're gonna do the parade of people coming in, then like in this case, let's use some more cast members and find some more creative ways to for suspended accounts on Twitter. So for me, as our listeners know, I'm not the biggest fans of these sketches. I much prefer sketches with less cast members in them, smaller and tighter with clear concepts and not just having like all 17 cast members show up in a particular sketch. But in this particular case, I think if you're going to go with this concept, I felt like there was more to be mined here besides having JJ play the previous president. So for me, this was just okay. I think a lot of people would say they're kind of happy they didn't see Mikey as Elon Musk, and I'm sure that he was cut for a reason. But I think if you're going to go from the perspective of like what Elon's doing on Twitter and you're going to have the Steve Higgins roll your scroll at the beginning of it, then why not go all in and have some involvement of Elon in this sketch? So that I sort of question as well, but interesting to explore. Okay. I can't wait to talk about this next pre-tape, which I have to say I thought was hilarious and I really, really enjoyed it, which was called The Looker. And yeah, there's a lot of true crime and murder stuff going on Netflix right now. But this time we're going to talk about The Looker, where we have a family who's just moved into a new house. Amy and JJ play the parents and we have Marcello and Chloe as the children. And they just moved in and JJ finds a letter under the door. And it talks about all the things that are happening in the house because they have a looker watching them. And we get to, you know, Chloe writing in the diary and Marcello playing his guitar. And then we find out a little bit more about Amy Schumer's mother, who decides to eat a second dinner and sneak it whenever she can. And after JJ goes out for a jog, she eats and then pleasures herself to the Property Brothers. And then, you know, lots of stuff about her trying to go to the bathroom. To me, I really thought this was hilarious. Amanda, what did you think of The Looker?
This was fantastic. This was everything I wanted it to be and more. It was like filthy in the best way. Like, you know, like I love when SNL plays blue, I really, you know, it sometimes it gets a little, but like this was the perfect edge of just like, it fit with Amy's sense of humor and just like the kind of concept of what you know, somebody would see if you look in somebody's bedroom. I'm also thrilled with whoever the Property Brothers agent is, because they are just everywhere in right. comedy media right now. And I loved this. I thought it was so tightly written. So I was waiting. I was glad I didn't know what the punchline was or where we were going. And once we got there, that the Chekhov's gun had already gone off. Like it was like they just need to repeat the joke again. It didn't need to like go off again. They didn't need to plan it earlier. It was beautiful and very like timely in that way where it's like, yeah, you may be like a week late on the concept of the sketch in terms of everyone watching, you know, the watcher on Netflix, but like, it's still, we still know where you're going. And I like that. It's good.
Yeah, for sure. Anthony, I really felt like Amy in this sketch was like, I was watching this and I loved it so much. And I kept thinking, I don't know that there's another host that I would want in this role. And that doesn't happen very often, but I think this is a case of like, this was the best you can get from an Amy Schumer type host. And I really loved having her here.
And I think that's a testament to Amanda's point, which is that this should have been last week because it's almost like a week removed from the news cycle, but it only works because Amy Schumer's performance is so good. She carries the entire thing, putting up Jordan numbers. Like, it's a really, really good sketch, and her back had to be hurting by the end of it because I'm like, it's all you. But no, it was so bizarre. You don't know where it's going to go. I really, really enjoyed this one. There are a lot of moments like this. And like I said, at the top of the show, it's Amy. Like, it's like, you know, like that's just like, you know, her fingerprints are all over so many of the strong points, I think, of this episode. And this is just one of those really big moments.
Yeah. See, this sketch reminded me a lot of the stronger material we got from the first couple times that Amy hosted the show, because I think if you go back and you watch those episodes, there's some really good stuff in there. And this felt like a lot more like the stuff that we saw there. But I couldn't stop laughing at the Amy goes. I mean, there were parts that escalated that were very funny, but the fact that she goes and eats an entire second dinner made me laugh so much, because my dad does the same thing when my mom goes to sleep. So I just like could not like relate to this more. Like, it's like clockwork. Like, the second my mom goes to sleep, my dad is in the fridge. So like, if you can personally relate to this, this was amazing. So I would say one of my favorite sketches of the season so far was the looker. Really happy that this was in here. Okay, so we had Steve Lacy performing tonight, and I'm just curious, I'll get, you know, quick thoughts from the two of you if you have any Steve Lacy thoughts. We had Bad Habit and Helmet being performed tonight. Air Conway, are you a fan of Steve Lacy?
I am a fan of Steve Lacy. I think it's been an interesting thing to watch Steve Lacy on tour, because so many people don't know his full album. They only know his song via TikTok, so they're going and not even knowing the lyrics, which I think is a whole nother conversation that could be had. But I like Steve Lacy. I'm a huge fan of the internet. I'm glad that he's getting his shine. I think it's crazy that he's been performing for as long as he has been, and he's only like 25. So I'm excited to see where his career continues to go. But Steve Lacy's good in my book.
Yeah, Amanda, Steve Lacy fan?
Literally, I did not know Steve Lacy was a part of the internet until like 2 weeks ago. Like, so I was like, oh, so I guess I like Steve Lacy, because I'd heard all of these songs. I was like, oh, I like these songs, and that's nice. Yeah. So, you know, I'm on board. Great, cool, Steve Lacy. And I also think Bad Habits has one of some beautiful lyrical moments that people don't realize because it's been, you know, homogenized by TikTok. So point out lyricism. It's good lyricism.
For sure. And I don't know if this is like very blasphemous, because like, I'm a huge Prince fan, but like, I definitely got like a little bit of Prince vibes tonight from Steve Lacy. So did enjoy that a lot. Yes. And I will second our friend in the chat, Roller Coaster Rider, says RIP to Aaron Carter, who passed today. So yeah, an RIP Takeoff, who we got in like a bumper four tribute in Update. Okay. Let's talk about Weekend Update from this week. And for the second week in a row, we get a very long extended Colin and Che, you know, just doing their joke after joke after joke. And then we get one correspondent who is going to come up to the desk this time. I believe that Sarah Sherman and Ego Odom also had pieces that were cut from dress rehearsal. So this time we just had Cecily Strong there. And, you know, very similar, I will say, to what we saw last season from the Kieran Culkin episode, where we had Cecily doing a very personal talk to, you know, the audience you know, from the perspective of Goober the clown. This time we had Tammy the trucker coming out and talking a lot about abortion. So always, for me at least, you know, really great when we get to see, you know, through the lens of comedy, something very serious in the way that Cecily's talking about it. Amanda, would love to get your perspective on what you saw tonight from Cecily Strong on Weekend Update.
I love her so much. Sorry, I'm crying. I'm already crying. Oh my God. I love her so much. This was one of the most, I mean, I think about her last season all the time. I just think right now it's a scary time to be a woman in America. I'm not going to lie. And I think even if you felt this was redundant, no matter how you felt about it, I'm glad that there's one person out there who did not realize that this was really important, that people were talking about this. And so, yeah, I think, and when I say that this, I was so happy to see her on my screen. I was so happy that they allowed her the space and the access to talk about just this. Because, yeah, I was like, this isn't meant to be hilarious. This isn't. We're not LOLing. We're not tee-hee-heeing on the floor. It's you're watching this because you know she's speaking on something that's powerful. And we had touched on it previously in Amy's monologue, and there's other things happening. And as a Michigan resident still, Prop 3 is, I'm just watching them just do terrible things to it. So vote yes on Prop 3. Thank you. But I think just Cecily is, I know that she, this was felt like to me was a junk draft, and they just let her go on stage and said, no edits, just go and say what you have to say. And so I think I'm just glad that with this timeliness and what's and the election being on Tuesday, that I'm glad it was there, you know, just to take up the space.
For sure. It definitely made sense. And I think that with, you know, Cecily being the sort of like, I don't want to say de facto, but like, I guess like now she is in this position to be the leader of the, you know, women of SNL at this point, right? A lot of her contemporaries previously left the show, and that does not to take away anything from when she did something similar last season, but to say that like now even more so, like she is the veteran of this cast, and she comes out as like a representative of, you know, the point of view. And in this case, I believe she's talking about something personal, but it definitely applies to a lot of people who are, you know, struggling to figure out how to talk about this as well. And I appreciated what I got to hear from her tonight, and I thought it was really great. I have a lot of respect. It's not easy to do what she did tonight. Anthony, any thoughts or comments on what you saw from Weekend Update and Cecily?
Nothing really to add on Cecily. I think that Amanda really hit a lot of that. I did question, I was like, was this an impromptu joke swap between Jost and Che? Like, it kind of felt like over there were a lot of those moments throughout. Specifically, two that I wrote down, comparing the New York City Marathon to undocumented Africans running wild in the streets of New York.
And I Mother screamed. Wednesday, I screamed. Hilarious.
And then Mother went day drinking while her five-year-old was home alone, like a loser. Just two really, really great moments there. But overall, I really enjoyed Weekend Update this week.
For sure. And let me just say, like, no joke swap last May. Like, I understand we got correspondence coming in from all people who were leaving the show, but it's been a while. So I'm hoping that Christmas that we could potentially get this coming up. So we see it. Yeah. We know that this is, it's about time, Amanda.
I really loved this. I will say, like, you know how I feel about these men, these two people, but I loved this Weekend Update and the joke swap. But you know, you don't feel about the two men. But yes, love that. It was a great Weekend Update all around, everyone.
For sure. Let's talk about what happened post update, because we really got like a stacked post update. Like it was crazy, right? Like usually we get like two or three things. How much material was there tonight? It was crazy. But we're gonna talk about the Jets sketch coming up next, where we get the perspective of a tailgate for tomorrow's Jets Bills game, where Keenan, Amy, Cecily, and Andrew are all hanging out at the tailgate, and they are talking and just keep yelling at everybody who walks by in a Bills jersey, including Michael Longfellow. Heidi's walking by and she's pregnant. We get Mikey comes in as a cop and then joins in the fun. Kids are walking by, they're yelling at them, and then of course the button on it, which is JJ in the wheelchair, and of course Amy ends up yanking the wheelchair from him. So Anthony, what were your thoughts on our Jets sketch tonight?
I thought this one was solid. The moment that I laughed was when the kids walked by. But you know, it's one of those where like you're watching it and you're like, I can kind of see where this is going. Like it's fine. But that moment specifically, I thought was really, really funny. Overall, I thought it was just kind of like solid.
Yeah. Anthony, are you a big football guy?
I'm a huge Titans fan. So it's like, yes, I like football, but I don't necessarily like watching my team win because they don't do it that often. But, you know, I tune in.
Yeah, for sure. I felt like I'm not a New Yorker, so I don't want to pretend to be one, but I feel like I am a Giants fan actually myself. So okay. I feel like I've seen enough of this type of thing. I've been to tailgates, especially a bunch of like Dolphins tailgates, or I've been down in Florida and stuff like that. And like this definitely does happen, especially like now you got some New York teams that have been very good this season. So I feel like this is a good time to play this sketch, but it got dark, especially with the JJ stuff near the end. So Amanda, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I don't know anything about any kind of sporting event, except the fact that I watched some team win the World Series today, apparently.
Yes, sure.
Yes. Okay, cool. I don't know, you know. I watched, you know, the residents of Philadelphia beat or lose the Meteors. I don't know what it means. But basically, I laughed. I love a dark turn in a sketch and any kind of thing about in any kind of like after the watersheds sketch. I just love it when they get real, really dark. So I would say my only viewpoint on that, I was just like, that's when I was like, okay, get it. Cool. Y'all are all maniacs. Members of Colts. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we are.
Love it.
That's cool. Us football fans. And I believe during tonight's Notre Dame Clemson game, they actually cut to, well, what are you saying, Matt, here? You don't want me talking
what
about
does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Okay, well, during a college football game tonight on NBC, they actually cut to a live shot of dress rehearsal where they were going to show a little bit of this sketch. So, you know, a lot of people knew that there was going to be a Jets sketch coming up tonight, and there's a video going around on Twitter of them cutting to this. So I thought that was an interesting thing that SNL did tonight during NBC's previous content throughout the evening. So that was fun. Okay. Yeah, I really did enjoy the sketch. I thought this was pretty good. And I think that, like I said, the JJ in the wheelchair thing really did that for me. I thought that was really funny. And then like, I do like the, I think if you go back and watch this, one thing I would recommend, and I can't wait to look at this on the rewatch tomorrow, is the point where they're yelling and you don't see who they're yelling at. And there's like this delay. And then it's like the kids coming out. Like that is really strong comedy where they decide to like keep that space because dead air is like really scary when you're doing sketches. But then to have the kids walk out and get that big laugh, like that really worked for me. So this was super accurate and was happy to have that in there. Okay. And then we get a pre-tape called First Dates, where we get to hear, you know, there's a couple, Amy and Mikey, another couple, Ego and Devin, and then Chloe, who are all talking about Pink's period underwear and talking about how this is new and going to replace the tampons of the future. Comes in different sizes, regular, super, tremendous, and biblical, if I understand correctly. But the only problem is that Amy and Mikey are walking together, and then all the dogs keep smelling her crotch, and the monkeys start growling, the eagles are swarming. Amanda, did this work for you?
It's okay. Oh my god. This sketch is like 6 years too late. Like it makes me
Why?
So
because what this 6 all, years ago.
This that's when they all for this whole bomb phenomenon started, a period underwear. It's like 6 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, okay.
So like that's why I was like, "Wait, like that's the only thing I was like, wait, but this they should have done this like before it was like cuz now like you can buy them at Target." You know, like because it's a brilliant concept. I mean, like as a person who's dealt with that concept, it's like, yeah, no, you absolutely are. Like, if I go in near a water, a shark is just going to come running up onto the shoreline to come find me. Like Mosquito City, you know, you make up these weird concepts in your brain. I don't know how it all works. I don't know how the human body works. But like, I loved this because of just how disgusting it was, how asinine it was. And this is another just like Amy Schumer only. Like this felt like they brought in a writer from inside Amy Schumer that Paramount Plus was like, I'm so sorry. That is that the line that we have a line and there is that is it. And they said, NBC, y'all can have this one because it's to me, this is perfect. And this is a very gay, like leaning to the female gaze, leaning to like the weird parts of life. And yes, also period underwear exists and a lot of women, you know, are wearing them. So, or people, okay. Feminine. Yeah, there.
Well, I appreciate that perspective, obviously. Okay, happy. Yes, it's now 1 o'clock in the morning again. Congratulations, everybody. Okay, Anthony, how'd you feel about our first date's Pink's period underwear sketch?
I was surprised, similarly to Amanda, that they were doing a spoof on the Pink's period panties now, because I'm like, that was like something that was like crazy in 2016. So I'm like, y'all are like definitely like, you know, kind of like going back in time and like, you know, turning it into something now. But the sight gag of the dogs was really, really funny. And again, it's Amy's performance like that really like made that and really sold it. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that was really great. I actually think it was the monkeys growling for me that really did it. And like, I did like the escalation on that. So yeah, this was good. The pre-tapes tonight, I think, were extremely strong. So again, really great. And Amy's work in the pre-tapes, like, it goes to show you that she's just very talented there. So, okay. So now we get, this was interesting. Okay. Let's talk about WKTVN News. We open up on Ego and Heidi as anchors, and a local fire has displaced people from their home. And we get Michael Longfellow's Chance Armstrong interviewing Cecily, who woke up from fire smell. And it turns out that her cousin, Amy, did it because she's upset that she wanted to get with her husband, who is played by Bowen. And then we get some other people coming in, including Molly coming in, and they try and show a trick where they breathe in. We get JJ coming in with a very different look than we're used to seeing James Austin Johnson with the long hair. Marcello comes in as well. A lot of look what I can do. Eventually people apologize and the three cousins kiss and make out. So Amanda, how did you feel about this one?
What did you just say? There were so many words you just said, and I completely blacked this entire sketch out. Like, I don't have any recollection of this. It's been less than an hour. How did that happen? It's not even been an hour. We're back in time. It's been 15 minutes ago. So, I mean, well, yeah. My thoughts on this is that it didn't exist in my world. How about that?
Okay. That's fair. Anthony, did this do anything for you, the new sketch?
I think Roller Coaster Rider got it right. SNL owes Mad TV a check. It was weird. And like, I couldn't quite put a finger on why it felt so strange. But yeah, it just felt like a very like mid-2000s, like late 90s, just weird. Like, it felt like an episode of like Rick and Morty come to life. It's like, I don't know where this is going, where this came from. Do we know who wrote this? Like, do we know?
Not right now, but on Monday I'll have that for you.
Man, it was a very, very strange sketch. I didn't quite know what to make of it. I definitely like laughed a couple of times, but it was weird. How did you feel about this one, John?
This one didn't really do it for me. This is sort of what I was talking about at the beginning of the episode, where I was saying how like there were some sketches that I feel like weren't that great, and I felt like Cecily Strong like really came in and sort of elevated it a little bit. Like, this is a prime example of that, where I felt like Cecily was like doing everything she possibly could to like put this above the bar of like a good sketch here. And I always like to give things like second chances, and like perhaps on a rewatch there's more here, but I really don't know what I don't know what the concept was behind, besides just like, okay, these people are all like, I guess, playing like Southern and dumb, if I understand correctly. And then like, they're being like, and then like, they're all cousins, but they're all like into each other and stuff. So there's like some weird incest thing going on. But at the same time, like, there's this whole like property thing. To me, there was just like a lot of like moving parts here. And it sort of felt like an excuse in a way for them to like do the accents. And I don't know, like to me, I know some people in our chat like didn't necessarily love it as much, but I felt like last week we had this Joker sketch where they're all doing Southern stuff. And to me, like, even if it didn't fully click, there was like a clear concept there. And tonight, I don't know that this sketch had one as much for me. So this may have been my least favorite of the night, if I have to be completely honest.
That's my note beside it as well. It was my least favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, I erased it from my brain, so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, though James Austin Johnson, like I said, gave me a very good laugh with the long hair, and Cecily did a lot for me here. So that's what I could say as good things from it. Okay, then we get to big penis therapy. So I feel like this is like one of those things where I forget what the term is called, but like maybe like where, you know, like if a TV station has to give like Democrats a certain amount of commercial time, they also have to give Republicans like the same amount of commercial time. Like that's what this felt like here, where it was like there was so much like female genital talk throughout the night, so they had to do male genital talk as well. So we got big penis therapy, where Amy and Andrew and Sarah and Ego are all sitting around like playing a game of Uno, and it's a, you know, it talks about how Andrew, as Glenn, is so competitive, so he decides to go to big penis therapy, and just a lot of talks about, you know, long dongs, big penis stuff. And Andrew eventually gets angry and flips over the table once he realizes he's losing the game. Anthony, how'd you feel about big penis therapy?
This one was ridiculous. It definitely, like, you know, I thought, I like Andrew Dismukes a lot. So I thought that like just his delivery and like the cockiness, you know, no pun intended. Of him like leaning back, like, oh, like, you know, it's a thing. Like, yeah, you got to go sometime. It was really, really funny. I thought maybe we caught Amy Schumer breaking a little bit after he flipped the table over when she goes to cover her mouth. I like this one. I thought that it was funny. No, I really like Andrew Dismukes. So I kind of like just roll with him on this one.
Yeah, I sort of felt the same way, where like this to me had, you know, we've been comparing Andrew Dismukes a lot to Will Forte. This sort of reminds me of like a Will Forte concept that is just like only works on pure just adrenaline from Will or Andrew in this case, where they're just like pushing the thing as hard as they possibly can. Amanda, how do you feel about big penis therapy?
I dated this man.
Okay. Tell us more.
Like literally, I dated like Andrew just me scared. I dated that man for like 3 years in college. So yeah, this is actually something that I did. I got that man into therapy. Thank goodness. You're welcome to his wife. To his wife. So you're welcome. So because I literally basically was like, absolutely. Like it's really hot. Men who are in therapy. Yes. Like, wow. Really sexy. It worked. So I'm just saying this is rooted in a deeper concept that's, you know, much bigger than me. But I thought, I love Andrew Dismukes, and I'm like quietly coming into like just acceptance, I guess, is the, for lack of a better term. And I think he's so funny. I think he's so charming. I think that baby face really like allows him to get away with pure menacing, just absolutely absurd behavior. And I thought that I'm glad this was so short. Like it was, you know, like four, like maybe like 5 minutes. And I loved that. We got to the concept really fast. I think it in general speaks to a larger concept that I don't think they realized that they were hitting on. But in general, I think also, yeah, this is another sketch that was like, we could do this because Amy Schumer is here. You know, we have the real estate, we have the people. I don't know if there's anyone else this season or even last season who I think could really handle the female straight female like lead here other than her. But yeah, like you said, I think the perfect way to say it's like just to balance out like the human anatomy conversations, we had to bring one real thing just to be like one for you guys too, yay. So because we're gonna end the show on something else, one more female thing, so
for sure. And I definitely want to point out this comment from Grim77 in the chat, who said that no one seems to have gotten the joke that in order to get the man into therapy, it has to stroke his ego somehow. And I did get that when I was watching the sketch. Like, I did feel like, okay, this is just obviously like, it's not about his big penis. It's about getting him into therapy. But the thing is that the sketch in execution uses the Andrew Dismukes' ability to be so weird and so like aggressive. And I love how Amanda said like the baby face and the aggressiveness of Andrew Dismukes and his characters are such a dichotomy that it's like it's so funny. So for me, it's like I get that the concept itself was kind of clever, but it's the Andrew Dismukes's ability to just push the weird that to me creates a vehicle that I'm enjoying seeing every week. And I have to say that, you know, I see a lot of inconsistency week to week over general storylines that we're getting from Saturday Night Live this season and season 48. But Andrew Dismukes getting a sketch in every single week, that's kind of weird. I mean, that is amazing. That's like one of the best storylines to come out of the early part of season 48 is that they're really giving him a chance. And that's what I want from this show. So that was great to me. Okay, let's wrap things up on our final sketch of the night, which was Big Dumb Hat. And, you know, this opens up with, are you a perfect woman? Well, we get Chloe and Amy and Heidi all talking about their big dumb hats and kind of using the, like, a little bit of an ex-porn star's voice, or we got gray pigtails at the end of last season. But it's a lot of talk about, you know, what it's like to be perfect woman with her perfect big dumb hat and, you know, showing off engagement rings and, you know, being 10 and posting pictures from her wedding day every single day. And then finally, we get Marcelo coming in, who comes in to get a little bit vulnerable as you know, a little bit of a side thing going on to this sketch. But Amanda, how did you feel about our final sketch of the night, Big Dumb Hat?
I can't think of a better way to end such a female-dominated episode. It was perfect. It was so stupid. Also, I'm really mad because I have two dumb hats, and they're in my closet.
They should have worn it for that.
I know, but they're usually in here. They usually actually live up here. I moved them the other day because I was cleaning, and I'm so upset because I have two. Like, I would have layered them, worn one on top of the other for, like, you know, I love a side gag on this podcast.
Of course, yeah.
100%. So I'm upset. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, listeners. I love you all. Next time, don't send me to jail. But I know this woman so well. When they said the line about I've posted like so many photos from my wedding, I shrieked because this was so funny. This was also a beautiful showcase for Kate. Oh my God. Why did I say Kate? For Chloe.
I mean, it felt like Kate could have been in
it. It felt like just very like, yeah, like an 80 Kate, like, you know, last ending period. But like for Chloe and for Heidi and for Amy, just when they brought the hat out, the hat kept getting bigger. I was like, it's so baseline, but it works perfectly to end the show on this note. Like, sometimes SNL's a tendency, we talk a lot on the show, like, to just be like, here's the last sketch and there we go, womp. This was a very strong, weird, very funny. We know this person just taking on the pumpkin spice Pinterest girl and just like really expanding her to a character and see, thank you. Wow. Good timing. And I really just enjoyed, a lot of this sketch. And I've also have a friend who like is like a travel girl. Her entire Instagram is brown and beige and she wears a lot of big hats, and I'm going to send her this and be like, you've been caught.
This is true. Yeah. Anthony, I happen to be noticed that you are wearing a hat. So how did you feel about the sketch?
As a person wearing a hat, I really, really enjoyed the sketch about big dumb hats. It reminded me at first a lot about like the Moe Chandon sketches that we got a couple of years back. Just like, you know, like the dull monotone, just like, you know, delivering facts. But I really enjoyed it. The stereotypes of like, you know, the fall white woman who's like, you know, I got to break out the plaid, I got to break out the brown, I got to break out the largest hat in my closet. And I really loved the button at the end of it, of dumb little dog. I thought that was funny as hell. I am a sucker for a good sight gag where you can kind of see it happening, like, you know, in the background, and seeing them get these progressively larger hats on Amy's head was funny as hell. Nah, this one hits a lot of buttons for me. I thought it was a really strong way to end the show.
Can I actually add one point onto that? Because when they zoomed into Heidi, I knew there was another big hat coming.
Yeah.
I could feel Heidi adjusting to her mark. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's another thing. That's what I love about live television. I love about this show so much. Truly that.
I agree. And I'll say, first of all, props to the props team who put together just those hats were really great. You know, for me, I think I've seen sort of, like I said, this concept before, so it didn't necessarily like wow me in any way. But I think to Amanda's point, like, I probably enjoy it more in, you know, like looking back on it, because it really does fit in with the vibe of the night and like Amy's night to just, you know, sort of like end on something like this. It sort of makes sense. And I do think that the team of Heidi and Chloe is a team that we don't always get to see and is kind of fun to have together. So I think this was probably better than I gave it a chance on its first watch. And I'm excited to rewatch this one tomorrow. All right. Let's talk ratings out of 10. So, you know, we went through the entire night. We had some interesting sketches and interesting moments throughout the evening. Chat, would love to get your ratings out of 10 as well. But I'm going to go to Anthony Conway first. How did you feel like this episode was out of 10?
All right. I'm going to preface by saying this. And I've mentioned this many times when like I've ever done the show. I love when a host comes and they want to play. I love when they come and they're ready to collaborate. I love when they come and they want to throw paint on the wall. And I think that Amy shows up and she's just like, I'm home. Let's like, you know, let's just do like the damn thing. I gave this one an 8. I think that wow. Every sketch she's giving so much. I think that a lot of the choices that she makes are just like spot on and they feel really right with the cast. I think it's really dope that she was able to gel with a lot of the new players that are in this season.
Amanda, you want to give your rating out of 10?
I do, yes. Okay. I agree, actually, a lot of Anthony's points. I'm going to go off of a lot of those. It's like, I really like the fact that, you know, Amy came in and said, hello, I'm going to have fun. We're going to game. We're going to play around. Tee-hee-hee. We're going to do the whole show. Like, you know, it's our third time. It's great. I think that I would say that this to me is a 7.5 out of 10, only because just like watching Inside Amy Schumer from 10 years ago, there's sketches that you would watch me like, that's hilarious, that's timely, that goes on forever, it's still very poignant. And the ones that are bad hurt. Like, I feel like the same way is going to be about this episode. It's like, it's, so I can't give it a full 8, but I think are the sketches that are rewatchable, probably endlessly rewatchable, like Amy's previous time out? Absolutely. And the sketches that are going to age poorly, going to age very poorly? Yes. If you want to talk about Inside Amy Schumer having timeless sketches, talk about Bad Hot or Last Hot Day with
no fight with the chat, because
just saying Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Tina Fey and Amy Schumer. It's a great sketch about women over 40 in Hollywood, so go watch it. Yes.
Sounds good. Anthony, we got you back. I just want to make sure we got all of your finish your rating. So do we have you again? All right. We may have lost Anthony, so hopefully we'll get him back here. I think he's frozen, but I'll give my rating in the meantime. And of course, I do believe we did get 8 out of 10 for Anthony. So that's pretty good, and appreciated his thoughts tonight. Look, I think that this show was, I always love talking it through and I love doing this because it always makes me feel better on it. I think I'm going to go about like a 5.5 out of, you know, 10 probably for this one. Like, I'm somewhere between a 5 and a 6, really, probably closer to a 5. I just feel wow. like I take yeah I take my re- yeah welcome back I take my rating super seriously. Like,
that's true.
Yeah, as anybody knows, when they hear me rate something, like, I am not just comparing it to like, okay, this is a 5 out of 10 on the night. Like, I'm saying, like, compared to the rest of the episodes in the history of SNL, to me, this is about a half. Like, this is like the 50% mark. There's some good sketches, there's some bad mm-hmm. sketches, but to me, this, there's nothing that necessarily, like, there's a couple sketches I really like that were great, but nothing that I really felt like took this episode so over the top. Right. So for me, at least on a first watch, I would say 5 out of 10 for me, or 5.5, something like that. So that's how I feel. I can't wait to see if I like this more on the second watch. This is going to be fascinating to talk about, and I'm excited to do that all week long. We have a jam-packed week of podcasts in case you're looking for more talk about this episode. And on Monday night, we got our roundtable coming up where we're going to talk about Amy Schumer, her history with hosting Saturday Night Live. Was it a good idea to bring her back to host? We will discuss that. How will this episode will be remembered? How will the sketches be remembered? Are they going to age well? Like, those are things that we're going to talk about on Monday night on the roundtable. A lot of numbers questions tonight. I want to give a big congratulations to Cecily Strong as well, who ended up passing Fred Armisen tonight to be the third most sketches in the history of SNL. So we got Kenan Thompson, Phil Hartman, and then Cecily Strong, third most sketches in the history of Saturday Night Live. So congrats to Cecily Strong tonight. And we will get all of the numbers talk, all of the screen time on a Wednesday with Mike and Nicole and special guest Eric. On Thursday, we will be back for the patron feedback show to talk through everything from the week and then look forward to next week with host Dave Chappelle, who we found out tonight is coming back for his third time hosting the show. Seems to be a little bit of SNL tradition to have Dave Chappelle to come in after a big election cycle. So we'll see what he brings to the show next week. I know there's a lot of interesting thoughts on that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more on the roundtable on Monday if, you know, our thoughts about that. And of course, but we will be back here, whether you're watching the episode or not next week, to talk through everything from Dave Chappelle and Black Stars episode of Saturday Night Live for our final show in November. Hard to believe, but that'll be next Saturday night. So hope you'll join us then.
Okay. How is that true?
Yeah,
what?
That is very true. Yeah, we've got a couple weeks off and then three in December after that. Hard to believe, but it's been a busy fall. So, Amanda, thank you for joining us. What's been up with you? Where can the listeners find everything you're doing? Have you been podcasting?
No. I've been too busy doing.
Welcome back.
I've been too busy doing. Literally, this is the first podcast I've recorded in my new apartment. Welcome. Thank you. I moved in July, if you want a clue of how long it's been. I'm still with my little words and my little writing things over at Fire 29. If you want to read my beauty writing, learn about, you know, the fun things that are happening, trends and things. I do that. You can also go follow me on TikTok and on Instagram and on Twitter at Loch Ness Manda, like the scary Scottish monster that lives all within us, whether or not I believe it's real or not. And go vote on Tuesday. And that's all I got.
Absolutely. Anthony, happy to have you back with us tonight and not frozen anymore. So please tell the listeners where they can check out everything you got going on.
Check me out at Air Conway on Instagram. That's where I'm posting all the stuff that I'm working on, the stupid sneakers that I decide to wear for the day, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, sounds good. You can always find me at JohnSchneider24 if you would like to talk to me about Saturday Night Live, and follow us at the SNL Network for everything that we are doing. Lots of fun stuff that we're posting this week. I can't wait to see what the whole marketing team has cooking for the rest of the week. So that will be very fun. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram for everything we're doing. Really want to thank the chat for joining us tonight and for staying up late with us and you know, enjoying this fall back. And we'll be here all season long to talk through everything from SNL. So thank you to Amanda and Anthony as well. My name is John Schneider from the Saturday Night Network. We will see you next time, everybody. Have a good one.